we get to sing along.
Well, we wanted to add music in some form. You will remember about two-thirds of the way through this morning, we were talking about the word frequency and the old way as how frequently you have to pay your bills or that kind of frequency. But this frequency is the frequency of the heart, the electromagnetic universe that we're just beginning to describe and to live within. Tom's idea of the great sing-along was inspired because as we sang today, I realized for the first time that every part of that song is about frequencies, water waves, sound waves from church bells, the flapping sounds of wings, the sounds of birds, all of it, frequencies, all of it, joy, music. Frequencies, healing, information, reverence. It's a whole new platform we're talking about now. The brain has done a wonderful job, our intellectual side, by labeling, naming, heaven knows, talking, and writing about it. But now we have another kind of language. And it is the language of frequencies. That language of frequency is a part of our next week's work. We have 9 wonderful weeks coming, and I would like to tell you a little bit about each one of them. Next week, the title of the presentation is The Heart in Christianity. You have your flyer, I believe, with you. We're particularly pleased to be able to welcome our new friend from All Saints by the Sea, Director Amy Iyer Delavette. Amy is coming to us to talk about the presence of heart frequencies as the ground zero in church, in particular in worship. So you're going to have a wonderful experience with Amy, talking about our own tradition and actually experiencing the presence of heart and spirit through the beautiful rituals that, when they are conscious within our churches, lift us to a whole new level of communion with God. On September 20th, what I think of as the keynote for the series, we will be welcoming David MacArthur. I met David in the late 90s up at HeartMath. He also is a minister, but a man who has understood the connections that we've been talking about this morning early on. He became friends with the HeartMath crew. He wrote his first book, I think, when he was up there as part of their team, and he continues to be a part of that whole endeavor, though he has been following his role as a church pastor in the years since. David has just written a new book. It was out 2 years ago, I think, and he will be bringing his books down with him, as our speakers often do, and you'll be able to make a purchase if you should like. But David is going to talk to us about the spiritual heart, and he will unfold in the morning a lot of the history of the HeartMath work. And in the afternoon, and this is rare for us, but we are able to essentially devote an entire day to the work of the heart's intelligence through HeartMath. So we will be meeting that Thursday morning in our usual manner from 10 to 12. We hope you'll bring your own lunch. We'll have, I imagine, drinks supplied. And then we will roll in from 1 to 4 in the afternoon here in the room with David in a workshop where you're going to have a chance to actually put to work, start to make your own connections here. He will be followed the following week by another wonderful HeartMath practitioner who has also become a friend. She comes to us from Newport Beach. Her name is Melinda Dewey, a corporate executive, ran her own company for years, and came into HeartMath work through that corporate connection. It was so profound, it made such a difference in the businesses that she had built, that she finally simply retired out of them to teach everybody else how to work with this information. She's been doing it now for a couple of decades down south. So she will be here and will be joined by another new friend, John Muddy, who is somewhere in the audience back here, and then another friend from Camarillo who will come with her, and we will hear and actually be able to see some of the HeartMath technologies at work. Now, give me just a moment to say a word about introducing the notion of technology in the same sentence with the Holy Spirit. Eyebrows go up. Is this a sales pitch? Well, everything's a sales pitch. Every sermon, every lecture is a kind of sales pitch. We want you to pay attention and learn something. But these little biofeedback technologies, which are very subtle and inexpensive, are an extraordinary addendum. It's like, why go without glasses when my vision is so wonderfully improved with them? These are a kind of technology. The little technologies that are biofeedback are those kinds of technologies. So you'll have a chance to see them, check them out, and if anybody wants to, we'll probably develop a small informal group that will perhaps do a little work together over the next few months. All just open, nobody's making any money here, but we are all disciples. And how interesting to find that there is a technology that grounds discipleship in a more rich way. Well, on October the 4th, we take all of these ideas and put them where Parker Palmer has been putting them for the last four decades. The Quakers, about 300 years ago, stumbled with George Fox into that parasympathetic place, into that space where we're still awake, but we're receiving the signals from God. It's called silence, deep Quaker listening. And it has, in many ways, changed the world wherever the Quakers have gone. In our own time, Parker Palmer, a very influential Quaker and teacher, who was listed, I think it was in 2012, as one of the 10 biggest trendsetters in the United States. His work has spread all over the country. And we are lucky to have, from Trinity Church, one of the practitioners of his Circles of Trust, Georgia Noble will be here talking to us about how to move into that place of deep listening with a group and hearing together new intimations of truth and honesty and discovery is wonderful work. That's on October the 4th, the social and global powers of group listening and heart coherence. HeartMath is in the midst of an enormous project with group heart coherence, and they are measuring, and have been for the last 5 years, its effects. You're going to be fascinated to hear all this information. On October 11th, we move to another one of those circuitries, those gifts of Pentecost, the capacity for direct knowing, direct listening, outside our standard reasoning capabilities, and communicating it. Catherine, our own Catherine Weisenberg, and her great friend, Jocelyn McIver, I'm not sure I've got that word right, McIvers, yes, are going to be sharing an extraordinary adventure of intelligence beyond the grave. So we urge you to be thinking about coming and bringing friends on October the 11th. On October the 18th, our own Alice McDonald will talk about the real basic here. Love is a frequency. It is the profound frequency. And she will explore where that begins to take us in some marvelous ways. On October 25th, we're going to explore the frequencies that make us whole, that heal us. With healing, coherence, and wholeness, we will be meeting this time in the church sanctuary. We had to do that once last time, remember? So on October the 25th, you will be coming to the church sanctuary rather than this room where something else is happening. And there you will meet a wonderful team drawn from All Saints by the Sea and Trinity Church. This is a group of disciples, of parish laywomen who have been working on a 10-year project of spiritual healing touch ministry. It's a remarkable story. The work is wonderful, and I urge you to come. Then on November the 1st, Suzanne Letzinger from Hospice is going to be working with us on heart-based living and dying. Imagine what we can bring to that experience when we start working with the information that we've had this morning and it will be unfolding for us over the succeeding weeks. And finally, we'll come home with, as usual, our own wonderful Father Jim Clark, where compassion and gratitude are the map to heart coherence. So we're putting it to work. We'll learn more, but we'll have the opportunity every time for you to translate it into real-time work. With that having been said, I'd love to open up the floor now for questions.
Can you raise your hand? I can first bring the mic to you.
Questions or comments?
About this part from your mouth, it should work. Anyone wish to? Yes. If you'd like to, sure. I saw you holding a cup of coffee, and I thought, this isn't going to work.
Which hand is going to be?
Here I am. I'll just do that. Yes.
Any questions or comments?
I have just a comment. In that, in the rubbing of the hands and so on, I'm a Reiki too. And in preparation for Reiki, I've often experienced the warming in the palms of my hands before I begin.
Yes.
And this exercise this morning gave me a new understanding of that. Uh-huh. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's one Reiki to another Reiki.
Anyone else like to ask a question?
Good Lord, have I left you speechless? That's true.
I just have a quick comment. The chance to sing together was a really beautiful moment in the day that I appreciate having the chance to do in the context of what you were talking about and speaking about energy shared between people, just really, really feeling that today. So thank you.
Thank you for feeling it, for knowing it, and for articulating it. Singing together is one of the most profound things we can do as a group. Chanting, of course, comes out of our old tradition. Almost nobody does it anymore, except for the extraordinary and exciting new chant work that is coming out of Cynthia Bourgeold and, is it Darlene Franz, with Wisdom Christianity, and other musicologists are beginning to work with these EM frequencies in brain, heart, and body. And they tell us that any chant, repetitive chant, if it is engaged in as a group for 9 minutes or more, brings about a completely different state of consciousness. Just the chanting links us up. You don't have to have the technology, because that is the biofeedback system. It's coming back to us. It's going out from us, not just words, but eventually just the rhythms of it. And what is wonderful with Tazay chanting and Darlene Francis chanting is that eventually, if it goes on long enough, other harmonics will begin to enter, so that finally you'll have a whole room just shimmering with counterpoint, going and shifting and making other counterpoints. Some of the most extraordinary experience that I have ever had. Just chanting. Why don't we just... Well, we do. We can do that with Jeanette and Suzanne. Is it once a month? Right. Over at Congregational Church. Yes, over here.
Yes, about 20-some years ago, my second wife and I got married. And, you know, there's something about signing on the dotted line. And after the first year, we began to see some of the same problems coming up that were in our first marriage. So we went to see a counselor. It's the smartest thing we ever did. But one of the things that he said, which I think applies to what you've been talking about, if you get in an argument or, you know, you're kind of down on each other, he said, don't say anything. Just walk up to the other person and give them a hug. And you're in that frequency, energy field, and it's just miraculous.
Oh, the talking brain gets us into such a stew.
One more over here on the far left.
Thank you so much for this wonderful new information. One question I had was that I've heard that the gut also has a brain. Yes. So can you comment about that?
Yes, and at this point we're saying, you know, a brain here, a brain there. I think everything in us, it serves intelligence. So it may be that we are a brain. The abdomen is threaded also with these same brain neurons. How many times have you gone with what is called a gut hunch? A good deal of research now has been developed that follows this. But one of the most interesting endeavors is one that our own Don George is very familiar with. It's called focusing. And it focuses on the information that is held, transmitted, and given through this whole torso area. It's we are, the hills are alive with the sound of music. Our bodies are alive with intelligence. Thank you, Renee. Yes.
Wait, Dawn. One over there?
Yeah, it's one over here. I'd love to hear Dawn.
Okay.
I hope you love to hear it. I'm concerned about the dark place and what is the electromagnetic resonance there. I can see, you know, first John of the Cross said, night is a better guide than day.
Yes.
And that sense of emotions like abandonment. And, gosh, is this all it is? You know, those are hugely transforming. I'm curious to know what the electromagnetic field is when one is in that place. I have not come across it in any of my readings.
No, I don't know that I have either, except that we know that we live in a dual universe. Incarnation includes all of it. And this notion of positiveness does not negate the experience that we all have of the places that do not connect. It doesn't mean that you put on the happy face and it will automatically cure everything. Of course, it's just something that's been pasted on the front. But these states, these steady states, I believe, are the states that we can be in to move deeper. We are embodied. We're here to play this game. We can go kicking and screaming and punching into the dark place, or we can go with this connected, focused approach to it and mine its riches for us. It's a very strange thing, but anyone who has dealt with grief, and many of you have for any length of time, have found yourself deeply informed by it. But that information can only land when we've stopped resisting and fighting and moving through the oldest brain's defenses. That's where my mind would go with that, Dawn. Thank you.
Just such a beautiful affirmation of what you've said, Pat. I was with Cynthia Bourgeot in Maine, and she was speaking a phrase that I hadn't heard before, that creation in some ways is laid down into creation is this common sorrow of our common father, that it's no accident that in this creation is this darkness, if you will, and that these are the very conditions where we realize the fruits of the Spirit, where we are transformed. It's engaging these very conditions willingly, where we are transformed. And then she spoke of the fruits of the Spirit, which were so very near to what you were describing as the angelic realm of our brains, that I love this phrase, that they are nutrients. They are nutrients for our planet now. And so we're not just doing it for ourselves, certainly, we know this, but that they really, truly are nutrients nurturing what's happening now on our planet.
And just because we're separated does not mean that they are not carried, because they are spiritual, energetic, they are moving out. This is a realm that is of dark and light, day and night, yin and yang. And my good friend Candace often refers to these darker places that Dawn was just speaking about as almost intentional, loyal opposition for the whole enterprise, because without knowing the one, we cannot know the other. This game of incarnation, of deep embodiment, goes on both sides, top and bottom. This is what makes us whole. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everyone. Don't we owe a debt of gratitude to Pat? She is the designer of this whole 10 weeks. So.